Our scripture reading this morning is taken from Hebrews chapter 10, verses 15 through 25. The Holy Spirit also testifies to us about this. First, he says, "This is the covenant I will make with them after that time, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts, and I will write them on their minds." Then he adds, "Their sins and lawless acts I will remember no more." And where these have been forgiven, there is no longer any sacrifice for sin. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is, his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. This ends the reading of God's holy word.
Do we see the signs of the day approaching, the second advent of Christ? It seems to be becoming more and more obvious. And Jesus tells us, as we see that day approaching, lift up your heads, stand up straight, for your redemption is coming near. Good morning. It's good to be with you this morning. For those of you who may not know me, my name is Tony Frank. I'm a Mission Earth World Team, along with my wife, Layla. I've been with World Team since 1995, having served in Eastern Europe, Africa, and most recently in Brazil. And we are on extended home assignment to help care for my parents. My father passed away in January. Now we're helping my mother get situated to a new living arrangement, as my wife's mother is in Brazil, and she is facing some difficulties with her health as well. We ask that you would pray for us as we get reoriented on how we can best serve the Lord, whether here in Northwest Ohio or on another assignment overseas. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we give you thanks for the wonderful salvation we have in Christ. Thank you, Lord, for your truth and your spirit that allows us to truly worship you. I ask, Lord, that you would quicken our minds to know the truth, that you would orient our hearts to desire and will the good, and that you would power our hands to put both truth and goodness into action with love, fulfilling the good deeds that you prepared beforehand that we should do them. And I ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Today is Trinity Sunday on the Christian calendar. And as I walked in here today, I thought I was mistaken. I thought we were on Ascension Sunday. But it is Trinity Sunday, in which we see God at work in history by calling the nation of Israel his own, to use them to bring in the promised Messiah, Jesus, God the Son. And after Jesus ascended at the right hand of the throne of God the Father, God sent God the Holy Spirit that we looked at and we celebrated last week on Pentecost Sunday. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit revealed in Scripture and acting through the Bride of Christ, His church, as she carries out her role proclaiming the gospel, accompanied by love and good works that authenticate the message. Over the past months, here at St. John's, we have been reflecting on how God has worked throughout history. We started with the Advent, a time of preparation for the coming one, first promised in Genesis 3:15. where it is written, I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. And throughout the Old Testament, the promised Messiah was prophesied about, who is the Christ. We celebrated Christmas, the birth of Jesus, the promised one, the truth, the word, the light of the world, the good shepherd, the bread of life. We then celebrated Epiphany Sunday, and then we entered a time of self-reflection and hopefully recognized our need for forgiveness during the season of Lent. On Palm Sunday, we celebrated the triumphal entry of the promised king found in Zechariah 9:9, where it is written, Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, a king is coming to you. Righteous and having salvation is he. Humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. And at first glance, the triumph was short-lived, it seemed, as Jesus was then betrayed, abandoned by his followers, and put on trial. The prophesied suffering servant we read about in Isaiah 53. Jesus was crucified on the day that we call Good Friday. Now, it's interesting that we would call a day good when somebody suffered so much. And yet, it is good because on the day that he suffered and died, he bore your sin and my sin. Then we gathered to celebrate and to rejoice on Easter morning, remembering the day that Jesus rose from the dead. In his death, burial, and resurrection, he paid for your sin and mine. A debt that neither you nor I could ever pay ourselves. He demonstrated he has the power to triumph over your enemy and my enemy, sin and death. Yes, he was triumphant over our greatest enemies. And he promised to give eternal life to anyone who trusts him for salvation from the coming judgment of God. Our Savior, the resurrection and the life, risen from the grave, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Last week, we celebrated the day of Pentecost, the day that the promised power from on high was sent, God the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was poured out to empower us to witness, to proclaim the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ, to preach and teach the word of God to all nations. I repeat point one from last week. The Holy Spirit was poured out to empower us to witness to others about Jesus the Savior, God the Son. God the Holy Spirit also empowers us to live and to walk according to his Spirit as we witness and testify to others about the gospel. As we read the book of Acts, the Acts of the Apostles, we see how the apostles themselves went out in obedience to Jesus to proclaim the gospel in all the earth by the power of the Holy Spirit, beginning in Jerusalem, spreading to Judea, going out to Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Yes, the Holy Spirit was poured out to empower us to continue to do the same. As we look at the book of Acts, we see Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, giving witness to Jesus. And as we think about what it means to witness, we get some examples from the apostles and their actions. Stephen, speaking to a group of Jews, began with Abraham. And he laid out their history before them that culminated into showing them that Jesus was the Messiah, the promised one, and that he rose from the dead. Witnessing can have a cost, as Stephen gives illustration to, a reality that there are those that don't want to hear the message, and he paid that cost with his own life, but we are told that he was full of the Holy Spirit and he looked up and saw Jesus standing at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus, who died in history. Christianity is a faith of history. He died on a real hill, on a real wooden cross. He shed real blood. He was put in a real tomb and truly and bodily rose from the dead. The tomb is empty. As we read further on, we look at how Paul approached the Gentiles. He began with the philosophers in Athens with God the Creator. And today, as we face a society that rejects the idea of absolute truth, we even have to establish that truth about reality is knowable. Because every time somebody tries to deny truth, they're affirming truth about reality that they know. And we can begin with creation as well. Because scientists tell us that the universe had a beginning. It began at a certain one point in space and is expanding out from that. Everything that has a beginning has a beginner. The universe has a beginning, therefore the universe has a beginner. As we see a beautiful picture that we can now take from outer space about this wonderful planet that God has created for us as part of the universe for us to live. If you get outside of the Earth's atmosphere, you enter hostile atmosphere, one in which you cannot survive if you do not have a special environment in which to live. But God has created that for us. So we see that this God that created all matter, and if matter began, that means that which began matter can be only immaterial or spirit. We look at the design that we find in the universe and we understand that each design has a designer. The world in which we live has design, therefore this world has a designer. And as we turn on the news and see all the injustices in the world, we have an instinct to react saying, that's not right. That's a moral law. Every law has a lawgiver. We find by our reactions that there is a moral law, therefore there is a moral lawgiver. We can present to people this reality. There is a powerful God that began all things, an intelligent God that designed all things, and a moral God that has given us and established the moral law that we must live by. We, as people, have transgressed or gone beyond the border of that moral law. We are guilty morally before God. And fortunate for us, we have a just one who came to this world on our behalf, was crucified, he shed his blood to pay for our sins, was put in a grave and 3 days later rose, showing that he is victorious over sin and death. And then the Holy Spirit was sent to empower us to give witness to this reality and to empower us to live a life that authenticates that reality. As missionaries, we have gone through many places in this world to proclaim the gospel and to put our hands to good deeds through love, the love of God. And 2,000 years later, after this historical event of the crucifixion and the pouring out of the Holy Spirit, St. John's is living evidence that the gospel was proclaimed here in Northwest Ohio. All you have to do is look at your history. And we are proclaiming the same message that was proclaimed when St. John's began. Our task is not yet complete. As we continue to see the Word of God spread to all the world, missionaries continue to proclaim the gospel in the most populated cities around the world and also in the most remote areas of our world. It is a task even today in Northwest Ohio that we have to do, or wherever we may find ourselves, to witness by the power of the Holy Spirit to those that we encounter. Point one from last week, the Holy Spirit was poured out to empower us to witness. Today, point two, the Holy Spirit empowers us to live a life of love and good works. This is possible as we yield our lives to Him day by day, decision by decision, moment by moment. I repeat, the Holy Spirit empowers us to live a life of love and good works. However, we must not get the cart before the horse. By incorrectly thinking that good works are the means of our salvation, the means by which God saves us, I must not think and believe that God will accept me because I'm a good person or that I'm better than somebody else. Paul makes that clear in the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not of your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. It is, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. We're not saved by our good works, but we're saved for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. The means of our salvation is the grace of God through our faith in what Jesus did in His sacrificial death on the cross and His burial and resurrection from the dead. He paid for my sin and the sins of you and the sins of the whole world. A life of love and good works are the result of salvation. In order to live a life of love and good works, we must live and walk by the Spirit. We are called to walk according to the Spirit's cadence, not the beat of our own drum. As we read in Galatians chapter 5, verses 13 through 18, "For you were called to freedom, brothers, not only to use your freedom as an only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another. Paul writes, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. So why is it that when I find myself wanting to do something good, I wrestle with it, and many times do not fulfill that good that I want to do? It's because my orientation is to the desires of the flesh and not the Spirit. The same goes when I don't want to do something that I know I shouldn't do, but I end up doing it. This is sin. And yet, thank God for Christ who has paid for that sin. So if we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let's walk the Spirit's cadence. We are told what our lives will look like if we try to walk by the beat of our own drum. A life lived as such is marked by the sinful desires we read about in Galatians chapter 5, 19 through 21. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissension, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, the words "and like these things" means that the desires of the flesh go beyond this simple list. This is compared to living by the Spirit, producing the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. We must walk the Spirit's cadence and not our own. We live in a world where everybody is trying to express and fulfill their own desires, going against the very laws that God has established in this universe. We see people trying to transgress the laws of biology by claiming that their desire to be something that they are not can be fulfilled by changing the physical reality. This is how the flesh makes war against the Spirit. This has been our problem since the beginning of time with Adam and Eve, wanting to do our own will instead of fulfilling the will of God, who designed life to be lived in a certain way. And as we take on the fruit of the Spirit, as this becomes part of our life, the question that I raised in my own mind, why is there no law against love? No law against joy? No law against peace, patience, goodness, kindness, gentleness? There is no law against self-control. People that are trying to change reality have no self-control over their passions and desires. Why is it that there is no law against such things? Because these attributes, these qualities, are the very marks of the character of God. And God is without limit. He is infinite. So,
we can be as loving as we want to be. We can be as kind as we want to be. We can have self-control as much as we want. Because the Spirit was given to us to empower us to live according to Him. As we look at the scripture in Hebrews, verses 19 through 25 in chapter 5, and the Holy Spirit also bears witness to us. For after saying, "This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, declares the Lord, I will put my law in their hearts and write them on their minds." Then he adds, "I will remember their sins and lawless deeds no more." Glory to God for that. Our sins and our lawless deeds will be remembered no more because of Christ. Where there is forgiveness of these, there is no longer any offering for sin. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Christ, by the new and living way that He opened for us, through the curtain, that is, through His flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. Christianity is a faith of the past. Our faith is anchored in the past actions of God, especially in that of Jesus Christ, the second person of the Trinity. It remembers something in history. Our faith is secured to that act of Jesus on the cross, His sacrifice. As we continue in Hebrews, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water, let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering. Our hope is in the future when Jesus returns and our salvation is completed in fullness. Our faith is anchored in the past. Our eyes are on the future. For He who promised is faithful. The promise of God in calling a people to Himself to bring into this world the Messiah was fulfilled. The prophecy of Jesus, the suffering servant, was fulfilled when He died on the cross for your sin and mine. The promise of the Spirit happened at the day of Pentecost. God is faithful to what He promises. And He promises that we will inherit the kingdom of God as we live a life directed to Him and toward Him. And let us consider now to stir up one another to love and good works. Love our acts in the present. The good works that we do are out of God's love that we have experienced, and God pouring out that love through us that we witness with our mouths and witness with our actions. We should not neglect to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. This day, the second advent of Christ, our Savior, our Lord and King, has given us the task to proclaim the good news, which is the power of God for salvation to anyone who believes. As we do that, let us keep the Spirit's cadence as we proclaim the gospel. As we live by the Spirit that empowers us to witness and to live lives that glorify the one and only triune God. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us look to the Lord. in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we are grateful for your word, your truth, that directs our minds to dwell upon that which we know to be secure. Thank you, Lord, for your Spirit that empowers us to put truth and goodness into action through good deeds. We think of those who are struggling with physical difficulties. We ask, Lord, that you'd be with those of the church who are unable to fully use their physical capacities. We ask, Lord, that you'd restore them to health, that they may serve you to what you have called them to. We ask, Lord, that you would be with Leah Nofsinger, that she, as she continues to receive treatment, that you, Lord, would help the doctors, guide them, give them wisdom, that she may be able to achieve full healing. We pray for Velma Overmeyer, who is facing failing health. We ask, Lord, that you would fortify her, that you would be with her, that you would comfort her heart, that you would give her the strength that she needs to fulfill what you have called her to. We pray, Lord, for Warren Prince, who is dealing with some medical issues. We pray, Lord, for Stacy, as she drives back and forth to Grand Rapids, that you'd give her safety on the road to support her parents and her sister. We pray, Lord, for Tracy Warren, who is facing ankle surgery, that you would help his body restore strength, that he may return to work fully capacitated to fulfill that which he should do. We pray for Linda Snidke as she recovers from surgery. We pray, Lord, for the Badenhop family, that as this unborn one who is also already facing physical difficulties, that you would restore that body to full health. We thank you, Lord, how we have seen some improvement already in that unborn child's health situation, and we praise you for that. We ask you to be with Chloe Merritt as she is going through treatments. We pray, Lord, that you would restore her to health as well. Pray for the Woolis family as they are facing physical difficulties. We especially pray for Monty as he is facing cancer treatment. Restore him to health that he may recognize you as his Savior and Lord, and that he may continue to live his life to glorify you. We pray for Pastor Eric as he recovers from knee surgery. We thank you, Lord, for the progress that he has made. We also pray for Lynn as she is going through radiation treatments. We ask, Lord, that you'd restore each one of these to health, that they may serve you with the strength and abilities you have given them. We also pray for Tammy, Tara Meyer's sister, as she was hospitalized and on a ventilator. We ask, Lord, that you would give wisdom to the doctors and restore her to health as well. We're grateful, Lord, that we have the ability to read your words. We ask for boldness to speak your word, even when faced with threats by those who don't want to hear it. We pray for minds that are seeking the truth, hearts willing to desire the good, and lives yielded to your Spirit. We ask, Lord, that you forgive us when we fail. We pray for endurance as we wait for the second coming of Christ. And as we see that day approaching, help us, Lord, to continue to model our prayers after the prayer of our Lord. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and
Please rise as you're able. In hearing the words from Hebrews 10 again, verse 22 and 23, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart, in full assurance of faith, and let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. May it be our prayer for the Lord to open the eyes of our heart, because we truly want to see you. Please join us.
Now is the time when we can bring our tithes and offerings with hearts of gratitude for what he has done, with hearts of praise for who he is, and with hearts of faith for what he is about to do. I invite the ushers to come forward. Praise you and join with the angels in heaven in praising you. We ask that you would use these gifts that we bring to spread your light and shine your light in our community and in our land, filling it with grace and mercy by the movement of your Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for having everything under your control. In Jesus' name, amen.
Leads us in the truth, stands by us in our need, and makes our obedience fresh and vibrant. The Spirit's gifts come in rich variety, and we thankfully see each other as gifted members of the fellowship. He gives more than enough to each believer, for God's praise and for our neighbor's welfare. Amen.
In Romans 6, 10 through 11, it says, "The death he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourself dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus." And in Ephesians 3, "I pray that out of this glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell, that he may live in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ." Our closing song is called "Alive in Christ." Following the spoken benediction, we will sing a familiar song. It is called "Build Your Kingdom Here." May we go out, share God's kingdom, share his love.
All my life is in your hands. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you with his favor and give you his peace. Amen.
I'm sad.